This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to talk all about fish oil. With me today is Paul Vidiello. He's Director of Marketing for Biotics Research. They make a line of Biomega fish oil products that are among my preferred brands. In fact, my very favorite. And we're going to talk a little bit about fish oil, and from a consumer standpoint, you know, how to select the best quality fish oil. There's certain criteria that you need to follow because, well, you know, a lot of people think fish oil is kind of generic. You know, if the doctor says to take fish oil, you know, I'm going to go to Costco or, you know, some discount place, and oh my goodness, fish oil on sale, a bottle of 300 for $9.99 sounds good to me, but that isn't necessarily the way to select a quality product. So, you know, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, Paul. How did you get involved with biotics research?
Well, I've been in the industry for, I believe, around 11 years now, and I've been a marketing director for a couple different companies, and one for 7 years, and then the rest for biotics for around four. I have been around fish oil, obviously, the whole time, and fish oil has been a big part of all professional channel brands of having high quality fish oil, because it's a little bit, as in comparison to what you would buy in the store, there is a big difference. And looking at quality and proving quality is a big thing that I've been trying to do, and take biotics fish oil from where it was, which was pretty good, to a place now where it's probably, I would say, the best in the industry.
Well, is fish oil, you know, sort of a commodity? Because, you know, say, for example, you buy, I don't know, vitamin B6. And, you know, you're going to, basically, there's probably a couple of major companies that make the vitamin B6. And then, you know, they distribute it to all the other brands. And then they package it. You know, they put their name, their brand on it. But it's basically B6. It's chemically identical. Is there like one big fish oil factory somewhere that, you know, makes barrels and barrels of it, and then it gets sent off to all the different manufacturers?
Right. So fish oil is a commodity. It's produced mostly in South America. It is a byproduct of the fish meal industry, actually. So we're not even, they don't even like us that much. We're really just the byproduct of the real thing, which they use for pet food and all sorts of different things. The oil is actually then put onto large oil tankers, just like the oil tankers that would carry around the oil that you think about in your car. And they're shipped to all these processing facilities all over the world, a lot of them in Norway and Belgium and in that area. As you guys know, they have a strong history with fishing, and meaning their population has been intaking a lot of fish oil, and meaning they supplement it a lot as well. So
in Scandinavia, yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, they've been all about cod liver oil for, you know, since the
forever,
yeah.
So it is a commodity, and it's just, the biggest thing is how fast you're processing it after you get the raw oil. You know, what type of oil are you processing it into? And then are all your checks and balances from a quality control in place? You know, third-party certification, all of those things, how fast you're getting the product to market, how fast is it being sold. There's quite a lot of stages of it, but there is a lot to be said for being a commodity in the fact that there really only is a finite amount of producers out there. We know who they all are. Every company knows them all, and you're picking one because of certain qualities. And then it's about what you want to do with the fish oil from a concentration standpoint and from a delivery standpoint, from the amount of EPA, DHA you would want to deliver per soft gel or per liquid. It really depends on how much you're really putting into the product. And from a price point standpoint, that's the biggest name of the game, is where as a company is, are they trying to make large margin on the product, even though it's really a subpar product compared to a competitor's product?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they can still claim it's fish oil. I mean, it is fish oil, but you know, then the question is what are the constituents of it? What's the purity of it, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Right. So when we look at fish oil, we look at two things mainly, EPA and DHA. So there's another one that's coming out that's pretty popular right now, but for the most part, EPA and DHA are what we look at. When we go into a Costco or to CVS next time, look at a bottle that you're buying, and it's going to say total omega-3s, and then underneath it in the supplement facts panel, if they claim it, they're going to say the amount of EPA and DHA. And that's really what you're buying. Mm-hmm. Unless you're just buying a omega product that could have any amount of anything in there, which we really don't know any concentration of. And the health benefits studied are really around EPA and DHA, and that's mm-hmm. really what you want to be purchasing.
And what's the source? Because, you know, some people say, oh, ours is cod liver. And other people say, ours is from salmon. And then there are other people who mm-hmm. claim, you know, it's from krill. Yours I think a lot of the quality brands go to sardines as the source, right? Or I'm sorry, anchovies as the source.
Anchovy, which are similar to sardines too. So I think anchovy, sardine, mackerel, you know, any small fish is acceptable, lower on the food chain. The thing about anchovy is that the fishery is managed very properly in outside of Peru and Chile, where once, I think it was in the 70s, it collapsed. And this is like a big part of their GDP, and they can't have it be collapsing. So what they did is they really put a focus on the fisheries and made sure that they're not being overfished. And mm-hmm. if they are, they actually pull back and they actually stop the fishing for a time period to allow the anchovy to populate and replenish.
So the key word is sustainability, really, there, right?
Sustainability, yes, exactly. The anchovy do turn over very quickly, and the sustainability of that region is probably the best in the world. Now, there's other fisheries, you know, whether it be China, Morocco, and some other places, but, you know, they're not managed as well from a sustainability standpoint as South America mm-hmm. and Chile and Peru.
Okay, so small is better from the standpoint of what's called bioaccumulation, right? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the larger fish are eating the smaller fish. So the when you keep going up, the heavy metals actually as well go up. So the larger the fish, the more naturally occurring heavy metals. It's not a bad thing per se. It's just when you're supplementing something, you don't want to be supplementing, you know, things that have higher than normal heavy metals. You would rather be supplementing the smaller fish, which have a lot less or maybe not traceable amounts of heavy metals. And also we get into toe talks a little bit too. But it is a very important thing to talk about the anchovies eaten by the next fish, which is eaten by the next fish, which is it. So the larger fish you catch, mm-hmm. the more heavy metals are going to be in there. So we try to stay as a very small fish. Again, the population is another thing, but it is mainly because of that.
And so On the one hand, you know, it's likely there's less toxicity because the oceans are pristine in that area, and mm-hmm. also the fish are small. But how do you do the quality assurance, you know, at your end? You know, when you do you test like a batch of oil before you process it into capsules or gel caps, or do you test afterwards? Or is there some verification that indeed there's not a lot of PCBs, not a lot of mercury and various other contaminants?
Yeah, the oil is tested upon when it's manufactured, which the supplier shares with us, and then we encapsulate it, and then at that point it's tested again, and then we finish product test it for a third time. So it's tested a lot throughout the process. And the biggest thing is the third party test that, so we also, our company, Biotic, does its own finished product testing that has rancidity and all sorts of different markers in it. People that know Biotic they know about their quality control, and then really, there it is, the best in the industry, is what I would say, is coming from other companies and seeing as well. Their lab is, you know, able to do things that a lot of companies can't. They've been around 44 years and have never been able to build those methods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that's a company, it's a real legacy company, because it was well established when I began practice, you know, 30-some years ago.
The history of the company is one of the bigger reasons why I ended up there. I have a lot of faith in them. It's family-owned and operated. There's not too many more family-owned and operated companies in our industry left.
It's in Henderson, isn't it? Or is it in Texas? Or where is it?
It's right outside of Houston in Rosenberg, Texas.
Texas. Okay, got it. Talk to us about rancidity. You know, what does that mean, and what are the implications for the consumer?
Yeah, so this is one of my favorite topics, because the supplier that we chose, and obviously we have a very good relationship. We produce a lot of fish oil for the industry. We chose because they strategically built their processing facility in Chile on the coast. So meaning the boats actually pull up to this facility to have the oil pumped into the facility directly. And then it's actually processed within 72 hours into a triglyceride. So the processing occurs very quickly. And that leads to almost no rancidity, because when the longer you leave the raw oil out there for, I don't know, if you put it on a tanker or you put it on a rail car, there's just so many different avenues where it gets transported, the Totox levels are going to go up and the rancidity is going to go up, because every time oxygen hits it, it degrades the oil. Mm-hmm. And that is why a lot of people will get that repeat or burping. It's it really is because the oil is just, you know, a little bit, you know, rancid, and meaning in some cases, you know, you're dealing with fish oil. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's not like, I don't want to like, you know, bag on every company. You know, it is an oil that is going to, you know, eventually degrade.
Mm-hmm. But it's a polyunsaturated fatty acid. So the fact that it's polyunsaturated renders it more vulnerable to attack by free radicals and oxidation, as opposed to a saturated fat, you know, which is very stable. It's one of the reasons why sometimes we like to cook with, you know, when we heat things, we like to cook with coconut oil or even lard, exactly, because it's very stable. I mean, even at high temperatures, it's not going to be damaged. But fish oil is delicate. It's polyunsaturated.
Correct. But after they put it into, it does become more stable after processing into the triglyceride form, which is the form that is originally found. It's the form that the fish is originally found in. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, we use that form because, you know, all the studies out there show safety and efficacy over any other, any other type of fish oil there.
The prescription, there are actually prescription fish oils, and they're all ester forms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Esterified
ethyl
fish.
Ester, yes.
Yeah, ethyl ester.
Yeah.
Which,
so what ethyl ester is
yeah. Go ahead.
Is the alcohol, they actually, the ethyl is the alcohol, and basically every fish oil is an ethyl ester at some point or another, because, you know, when they process it, they need to either, they need to separate it, and they use the alcohol in order to separate it. It's just what they do after that. So when you leave it in that form, it would be an ethyl ester. What we do is we make it into a triglyceride, which is just another step, which adds more cost to the product. It's just a more quality product. And triglyceride, you're basically putting it back into that original form as it's found when you're eating fish.
Mm-hmm. And it's thought that, that perhaps that's more bioavailable even.
And that's what the studies say, yeah. And the safety is very good on it. And there's just a tremendous amount of research on fish oils and triglyceride fish oils. So we're very comfortable with the triglyceride form.
So let's talk about the steps involved in making it. You know, okay, so the they catch the fish. I guess these are factory ships, so they process the fish into the fish meal, which goes to whatever industry, fertilizer or pet food, mm-hmm. and you know, and then they extract the oil, and that goes then to the processing plant in Chile, and then mm-hmm. what happens there, and then how does that interact with your manufacturing?
Right. So then the oil is at that point put into drums from there. We bring the drums from Chile to to the United States, and then we encapsulate the oil usually within it's depending, but you know, usually within 3 to 4 months it's basically encapsulated, which basically makes this turnaround, you know, very, very quick from catch to capsule. Really, like, extremely quick when it comes to manufacturing and all the steps that need to go into it. It's an extremely quick process. Usually, it can be that some fish is on a barge in the Atlantic for a year before it's processed. Mm. And it's not yeah. uncommon mm. at all for that to happen. So for it to be the finished product within a few months, is, you know, is tremendous.
Yeah, so I hear,
that's the commodity thing that we're getting back to, where mm-hmm. you know, it's traded all over the world, and mm-hmm. you know, and the reason why single source is usually good too is because you can trace it, and it's not blended with multiple sources from multiple different oceans that could all contain different mm-hmm. things.
That would be a little like making sausage. I mean, sometimes you put in, you know, snips and snaps of you know, things that maybe are a little less desirable to, you know, maybe camouflage them. So your single source, I think, is probably a safer way to source it. The question is, you know, if there's rancidity is a possibility, what about once the stuff is bottled? You know, should users exercise caution? You know, what happens if it's, you know, sits on a health food store shelf? Is it stable at that point, or is it still vulnerable to breakdown?
Yeah, it's still vulnerable in some way. I mean, you know, I always say to put it in your refrigerator. I mean, I still say it's fish oil.
Yep.
No matter what, it's still fish oil, and the freshest you can keep it is going to be the best. So when you're buying it from a company like Biotic, you're going to get it, so it's in its freshest state. The practitioner, you know, whether it be you giving it to your patients, they're going to be getting it the freshest oil it's a difference between this model and a retail model. I mean, it you know, could be a year or more in the difference of the oil being out there. So the rancidity is just, I mean, again, also, we don't know where it's processed and we don't know what it's blended with. If you look onto a bottle, you're going to see the source of the oil always. They have to list it. And you're going to see multiple fish on there. And again, when they do that, it's like, you don't know where they're mm-hmm. blending. You know, you know, it could be that the anchovies aren't fishing that good that year, so you're buying more saline than natural,
right.
But that could change the whole chemistry of the oil. You know, I mean, it really could.
Mm-hmm.
It could change the heavy metal profile, and you don't know. And then it could also, which is a really big thing, it could change how sustainable your product really is. And I think that's going back to sustainability is what a lot of people, including us, care about. You know, we don't want to overfish anything. You know, you start overfishing anchovy, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble. It's really low in the food chain, right? So
mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, the whole ocean depends on that. Yeah, I mean, just the viability of the
yeah.
whole you know, ecosystem.
The whole ocean, and then all of the humans, you know, would too. I think it would be a big collapse.
Ultimately, Yeah.
Ultimately. Yep. And so, I mean, it is, I mean, sustainability is a big topic where, you know, we all go to Whole Foods and we all look at, you know, sustainability levels and you choose what you want. But, you know, when we do it, we choose, you know, the highest quality that is the most sustainable.
Okay, this is a good point at which to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. I have a lot more questions about fish oil. We're talking to Paul Vidiello. He's Director of Marketing of Biotics Research. They're the makers of the Biomega fish oil line, and we're going to get into some particulars about some of the options there because, you know, there are some people who have trouble with big capsules or gel caps and prefer a liquid, and, you know, there's kids' forms. So we'll get into all the different particulars in part two. Stay with us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.